Well then, dear friends, in Christ's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in this section of Matthew 25, Jesus is in the final days of his earthly ministry. Matthew has a wonderful gospel where he shows us so many things about Jesus. He's the first one right after the Old Testament, and he connects so wonderfully with the Old Testament, showing us that Jesus is the Messiah finally here. He highlights that Jesus is the Emmanuel, the God with us, that we hear in Isaiah. We see Jesus grow. We see him go and serve, to lead, to teach, to heal, to do all these wonderful things, to be that change that the world needs, that the world had been given in prophecy through the Old Testament. But now we are in the final stages of this gospel, where Jesus has entered into Jerusalem to end his earthly ministry. Jesus here is focused on what must be done. His eyes are focused on Calvary and on the cross. But yet before that happens, he and his disciples walk around the temple, and now they are gathered outside of Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus is constantly grooming and leading and teaching these 12 men, preparing them for what is to come, even though they really don't get it. In our reading today, Jesus is warning about the final judgment. Now, when they were in Jerusalem around the temple courtyards, they were observing the buildings of the temple. As they sit outside of Jerusalem now, they are looking at the city, at God's holy city. And all of these, with all of this vision in mind, they are also reflecting on God's holy people, the Jews, who for so many years relied on their citizenship to this nation of Israel to make them righteous people. But what Jesus is warning about in these final chapters of Matthew is about what God values. That it is not belonging to the nation, but belonging to God. Now, so many of these people view those as the same exact thing, but what Jesus is showing is that it's not. Because in the final days, all will be gathered together before God. And as Jesus explains before our reading today, God will separate the unrighteous from the righteous, like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. So then the question is, we now reflect on this, okay, how do we get put into that good category of the righteous? And in today's reading, we get a view of what that looks like. The righteous are those who lovingly serve, who lift up others. Because when they do that, they are serving God himself. Those needy hands, those homeless people, those people suffering even in prison, they are God in the flesh. And in serving them, we serve him. But the reality of things that we are all very familiar with is that our works cannot save us. Even if we do reach out for the needy and care for them perfectly, we still need more. The problem of sin is simply too great. But Jesus' teaching here is not how to be righteous, but yet what the righteous look like. The story of the gospel continues showing how we become righteous, by showing Jesus, who is betrayed by his own brothers, these disciples who he has led and taught. He is arrested, beaten, falsely accused. He is an innocent man who is condemned to a criminal's execution. But yet, strange as it seems, this is all according to God's plan. Through this execution, God's righteousness is poured out onto the world. This is no normal punishment. This is no normal execution. Because here is Jesus taking the fullness of God's wrath against sin. Paul proclaims to us from 2 Corinthians 2, 5:21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Through this sacrifice, through this gift to us, we are made righteous. In Jesus' suffering sacrifice, we are made righteous. But yet there are unique and special transitions that happen here. Because Jesus goes from life to death. But then our Easter joy is that he goes from death to life. So not only have we been given righteousness through this sacrifice, but by his resurrection we are given eternal life. And so, living in this righteousness that has been given to us and preparing us for this eternity, we now walk on a path. We have transitioned from unrighteous to righteous. We have transitioned from death to life. As we declare through the words of holy baptism, we drown our sin and we rise to new life. And so, what does that path, what does that journey look like? And the truth is that it is it is one path with many paths connecting to it. Because many of us start in different places. We might start at the waters of baptism. We might have been called by God through some life experience. We might have heard the gospel and believed. And really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we are on the one path, led by Christ our Savior. So often we have this image of a narrow and lonely path. But while this path is not an easy path to walk, it is a path that is walked by many. Because if you look to your left and right, you're not here alone. You are not gathered together in worship by yourselves. We do it corporately, as a body, together. And it is through this that we unite as God's family, uniting as the righteous people that God has made us to be. And so now as we journey together, what does that look like? And as we celebrate Rally Day today, this is what we're reflecting on. Our education, our journey together. So then the question that you need to reflect upon personally is, what are you doing to learn about your God and to grow in your faith? I asked that a couple of weeks ago, mainly bringing it up because of the laziness that we all struggle with. But yet it's that same journey of faith that we are still walking on, and that same laziness is still a danger to all of us. We must remember that this journey that we are on is a process of growth. As we are growing closer to our God, closer to one another, closer to that righteousness that we have been given, it is a growth process. And as you have been made righteous, God calls you now to live righteously. And the big and worrisome thing is that the big problem in our society today is that there's this apathy. There's this laziness that is such a danger that can pull us away even from our own salvation. That as we simply do nothing, we can fall away from God. We can see this all over. People claiming to be Christian. But it's all talk, isn't it? And it's nothing new. Because the Pharisees, they believed. But were they righteous? James chapter 2 reminds us of a challenging reality that even the demons believe. But are they righteous? Righteousness is a gift. And it is a way of life that God has given to us. The one who rescued us from sin and death has given us that righteousness and has called us to live righteously. So then, how does that happen? How do we live as the righteous? As we turn to Psalm 1, we read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." It says law there in this translation that I copied, but really the Hebrew there is teaching, instruction. We are called to meditate on God's teachings day and night. So are you doing that? Are you studying God's word? Do you participate in a Bible study? Do you do a daily devotion? And this is where you, as a Christian, have a personal responsibility. We as the church have set everything up for you. We have so many small groups ready to go. And you know what? If you don't want any of those small groups, you can start your own. I'd be more than happy to help you do that. And daily devotions, we have them ready on the worship carts to be taken, and they are prevalent online. You have a personal responsibility as you walk this path to participate in these things. But also, as we reflect on this lesson from Matthew 25, well, not just Matthew 25, but the other readings as well, that we are called to live righteously. And it's not just sitting there and thinking and meditating on God's word, but also living through our actions, walking on that path. And as Jesus tells us these things today, this is what the righteous look like. They are those who feed the hungry, who give drink to the thirsty, who welcome the stranger, who clothe the naked, who visit the sick, who go to those in prison. And as Jesus gives us this list, as we reflect on this list, you have every single one of these opportunities ready and available right here in Faribault to live righteously. St. Vincent de Paul, the Faribault Food Bank, are both places that need food to give to those who are hungry. You can support a charity that builds wells in countries with bad water supplies. That's what we did for VBS this year. You probably have a closet full of clothes that you haven't worn in years. There are people who need clothing, either at Salvation Army, Goodwill. There are so many people who need to be visited. I have a list ready for you right now of people that you can go to. Not to mention the countless numbers of people who need to be seen in the nursing homes and other care places here in Faribault. What about welcoming? What a great opportunity we have in the church of people gathering in our narthex, either before the service or after the service with coffee, to sit and chat, to welcome, to make people feel welcome to this church that we have here. Then that final one, visiting people in prison. You know, it's not a lot of communities that actually have prisons. And we have one that's just right there, with so many men who are at critical spots in their lives. Many who are Christians, who are trying to walk as righteous people, who need your prayers, who need your support, who need you to visit them. And as we reflect on our Christian education, as we reflect on the study of God's word, as we reflect on that service, it is through all of these things that we are grown in the path of faith. But I think one of the biggest things to remember is that in serving others, we read in God's word that we are called to serve, and when we actually go out and do it, we learn one of the greatest lessons of humanity that is almost impossible to learn in any other way. We learn empathy by serving other people. You learn about people. You learn about their various places of life. You learn about who they are, what they struggle with. You learn that maybe they're not as pitiful as they look. You learn that maybe they're not as successful as they look. And in growing with this empathy, your eyes change, your heart changes, so that you start observing and seeing these people with the very love that God looks at you. It helps you to serve them even greater. And as Jesus reminds us from Matthew 25 today, by doing even those little things for them, we are serving Him. It is the ultimate form of worship. And what better way to do it than as uniting as God's family here? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.